Somebody might say this morning, well, why is Brother and Sister Justice's son going as a missionary to China? Because somebody over in China is praying to God, send us somebody to tell us about Jesus Christ. A missionary's calling come because there's some sinner over there saying, God, I want to know about you. I want to know who you really are. Send somebody to give me the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in this passage, Paul was the answer to the Macedonians' prayer. I want you this morning to see with the help of the Holy Spirit a divine principle that is here. It's true in the Word of God. It's true in the history of the church. It's true in my life, and it is true in your life as well. God uses people to answer the prayers of other people. God uses people to answer the prayer of other people. Think about that and let that sink down into your heart and mind this morning and know how true this divine principle is. God's divine plan is to send people to reach people, to send lives to reach other lives, to send individuals to reach individuals as well. And God's divine purpose is in my life and in your life is to reach and help as many people as we possibly can. I want to talk to you on this thought today. You are the answer to somebody's prayer. I am the answer to somebody's prayer. We are the answer to somebody's prayer. There is a divine principle and a plan and a purpose that is relayed here. And it's not just true here, it's true from Genesis to Revelation. And that is, we are the answer to somebody's prayer. I want you to know this morning, God's way is people. God's way is people. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The ministry is about people. Church is about people. Mission work is about people. Evangelism is about people. That's what it is all about. And let me tell you, that's what God is all about. God's book is all about people. He starts in Genesis with the first Adam, and he ends in Revelation with the second and last Adam. From Genesis to Revelation, God is all about people. Now, I know the Bible is God's revelation to man. Full, final, and complete. And I understand that. But let me tell you something. God let man write this book. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. God let man write this book. God inspired them, and God let man translate this book. You know what that shows me? God is really interested in man. God is really interested in people. And I want you to understand this morning, the Bible is there to reveal God to man, and His way is to do that. But in your life and in my life, as I look back over my life, I see a divine principle that is true. God had the right person at the right place with the right plan in my life. At times when I needed help or direction or guidance and I didn't know what to do, God put the right person in the right place with the right plan for me. I do not want to rob God of any of His glory. I am not preaching some humanistic doctrine today, and I'm not trying to take the hand of God out of our life, but God's way is people. God is about reaching people and winning people. I think this morning of salvation, how many of you are saved today? Say amen. Yeah. Somebody told you about Jesus Christ. Someone gave you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some person was placed in your life, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a Christian, mom, dad, but somebody told you about Jesus Christ. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My daddy didn't get saved till he was 35 and I was 15 years old. But thank God I had an aunt and uncle who went to an independent, fundamental King James Bible believing preaching church, and they emphasized witnessing and soul winning. My aunt and uncle Jim and Mary Long witnessed to my mom and dad, prayed for my mom and dad, told them about Jesus Christ, invited them to church again and again and again. And one night at a revival meeting, I was 15 years old and I'd never seen my daddy cry. See, we were raised that weeping was a weakness. And for a man to cry, he was a sissy. My dad had never cried. He came in and he was crying. My mom was crying. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew something. And went on. He set all of us sick children down on that couch and he said, I want you to know something. I got saved and your mom got saved tonight. Out went the liquor, out went the beer, out went the cigarettes, out went the card playing. In came the Bible, in came Jesus Christ, in came going to church, in came serving God. All of that because my daddy was saved by the grace of God. But thank God, God put the right person in the right place with the right plan. My aunt and uncle just would not take no for an answer. They witnessed to them. They talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when my dad got mad and cussed them out, my aunt wrote him a letter and mailed it to him. We lived in the same town and he wouldn't even talk on the phone. So he got a letter and the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of my dad's heart. He didn't sleep for a week, miserable, and hallelujah, he got saved by the grace of God. Hey, let me tell you something. God put Jim and Mary Long, the right person in the right place with the right plan. I got saved. All my children are saved. All of my grandchildren are saved. All of my siblings are saved. And you know why? God's way is people. We are the answer to somebody's prayer. You and I are the answer to somebody's prayer. I remember when I surrendered to the Lord in youth camp. Youth camp is a wonderful, wonderful tool for young people. I went for years, and our church still goes every year. What a great thing it is. I was in youth camp. It was a part of a vision our pastor Gerald Fleming had. And at that youth camp, once again, I got saved in June of 1963. God been dealing with my heart in July of 1964. A preacher stood and preached from this old King James Bible. And I hope to never forget. You know, when I was younger, I used to say, I'll never forget. But now I can't remember what I said I'd never forget. Amen. So now as I get older, I kind of put a word in there. And I learned something else. Never is not a good word you want to say. God may make you chew that word one day. Amen. God will never do this. Don't tell God you'll never do anything. Amen. He has a way of taking it around, putting it in a different context there. But I hope to never forget. He preached a message that night on the people God uses. And he took people in the Bible that were handicapped. He took people that had afflictions and showed how God used them. And he basically at the end of that message said, God will use anybody who makes their self available. That night I came down to an old fashioned altar at an open air meeting and fell on an altar for God and said, God, I'm nobody. I'm still nobody today. God, I'm nothing. I have nothing to offer you. But I want you to know I am available. I want to serve you. I want you to know tonight, some 46 years later, I'm still available. I'm still enjoying serving God. I'm happier today, more excited than I have ever been in my life. Salvation. Think about your salvation. Somebody told you. Think about when you surrendered. Somebody helped you. My uncle who's now in heaven, my dad's brother, Herbert McGahee, Junior McGahee. Some of you know, a lot of you know my cousin, Mark. I don't tell publicly he's my cousin too many times, but Mark is my cousin. And when I got saved, when I surrendered to preach, my uncle took me aside and he said, "Do you want to preach, Jim?" I said, "Yeah." I had visions of grandeur and pulpits that would be calling me, churches that would be calling me. And Mark's dad ministered in the nursing homes in Dayton, Ohio. He went five nights a week to nursing home. He said, "I got your congregation that ain't going nowhere. They're not leaving. They won't get up and walk out on you." He said, "They'll be glad to see you." And I started preaching in the nursing homes and started going to the city of Dayton, the mission that was down there, and preaching. And you know what he did? He encouraged me. He helped me. I'm sure just as today, some of those messages I preached were the most terrible thing that ever happened. And every time I'd get done, my uncle said, "Jim, you did a good job." He'd put his arms around me, and he, like my dad, was not always a very tender person. But he'd say, "I'm glad you're serving God. I'm glad you surrender to God." And he said, "Son, just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the right person in the right place with the right plan in my life." Let me tell you, there's been times in my life, not only with salvation and surrender, but strength. I'm glad there's been people that have helped me. We're here this morning because God used somebody to help us, to encourage us. There's times when things were too strong, God sent a friend to help us carry that load. There's times when it was too big for us, and God gave a friend to put their arm around us and pray and have compassion. There's been times when it was just too hard. God sent somebody to challenge us and say, "You can make it, brother. You can make it, sister." There's times when there's things been too frightening for us to face. Somebody came along. God put a person in our life that helped us to have courage. There's been times when things were too painful. God sent a friend to console us. Too hurting, and he sent somebody to have care and compassion and somebody to love us to God and love us to the right place. Thank God for the right person in the right place with the right plan that pointed us to God, encouraged us in God, stirred us up about God, helped us carry our burden, met our need, and said, "Brother, you can make it. Sister, you can make it." We're all here today because God's way is people. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Just as God used that person in your life, He wants to use you in somebody else's life. Let me refresh your memory on what we read. Saul got saved in Acts 9. Once he got saved, bless God, he didn't mess around. Straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogue. I like that word straight, don't you? Straight. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I saw in the paper this morning where one of these states voted down civil union among sodomites. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Every moral victory is one moral victory. You don't see many of those in this world today, but he preached Christ. But in Acts 9, God used Ananias to help Paul. You know what happened? God turns around, puts his hand on Paul, and in Acts 16, Paul is helping somebody else. Paul is helping the Macedonian, going on one missionary journey, two missionary journey, three missionary journey, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossia, Corinth, all of those places God put his hand. You know why Paul's life was changed? Because when he got saved, God put the right person in the right place with the right plan. He saw God use Ananias, and God turned around and used Paul to help somebody else. You and I are saved to help somebody else. God's way is people. Let me say something else. God's work is people. God's work is people. I say this morning that the work of God is all about people. Any church that's not about people is not a real New Testament church. Say amen. The child of God ought to be about people. If you don't love people, you're in the wrong business. If you don't care about people, you're in the wrong business. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. People. That's what God's about. Genesis to Revelation. It's all about that. The church ought to be about people. The child of God ought to be about people. The Christian ought to be about people. Reaching people. And all that we do and all that we're about, all of our emphasis ought to be on reaching as many people as we can. Reaching those that are lost. Giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reaching those that are lowly and offering them a helping hand. The world says you made your bed, lie in it. Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. I have forgiven you. It's our job to lift those that are lowly. Reach those that are lonely. Let me tell you, there's a lot of lonely people in this world. And you never know, if you befriend that person, you might be able to win that person. So many times we just got to win them this prayer, step one, step two, and three. And I know salvation is simple and it's easy, and I believe all of that. But I think if we'd love the person, God might let us win that soul. I think sometimes we're just worried about winning them so we can tell somebody else we want them. Well, if we truly befriend them, we might win them to Jesus Christ. You said, where'd you get that thought? The Bible. The Bible. The Bible! Jesus healed people, didn't even believe in Him. Say amen, nod your head. He did. That blind man didn't even know who he was till later on. Do you think all those 5,000 men, women and children, 10,000 people, do you think all those 10,000 people he fed were all saved? Mm-mm. But you know what he did? He fed them with the hopes of befriending them and winning them to Jesus Christ. We ought to be about reaching people and reconciling people. Paul said in Corinthians, we have the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation and the ministry. To reconcile means to bring together God and man. And to bring God back in favor. Friendship and fellowship with God. God's work is people. Reaching people. Those that are lost. Those that are lonely. The least. The last. And the lowest. Reconciling people to the favor and friendship of God and restoring people. Those who have fallen away, fallen down, and fallen apart. Jesus' first public message was Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. We're to go reach those that are bankrupt, spiritual poverty without Jesus Christ. Those that are brokenhearted, there is no shortage of brokenhearted people in the world. Those who are bound by sin, self, and Satan. Those who are blinded by the devil. And those who have been bruised by the devil, beaten up by this world and battered down. God's work is reaching people, reconciling people, and restoring people back to God and back to who God wants them to be in fellowship with. I read several years ago of a young lady, Galina Vachelini, I think is how you pronounce it. It is a Russian name. She was in the old Soviet Union before it fell. KGB was still big. She was a Christian who loved the Lord and taught a Sunday school class. She was a few weeks away from getting married. Was in a town passing out some gospel tracts in Russia. They captured her and put her in prison for passing out tracts without a license. They persecuted her. And as I read this story, I had tears come into my eyes. And it brought conviction to my heart to see what she went through and to see that I've never suffered like that. Beaten, bruised, belittled, to stand naked in front of a wall, in front of men for hours. Psychologically, they beat her so much that almost every tooth in her head was loosened or came out. She suffered so bad from malnutrition, the hair in her head was falling out. Just a frail woman that was there. She stayed in for 2 months, a month longer than they usually kept the prisoners there. When she got out, her Christian friend said, "Why did you have to stay so long?" She said, "I had to stay so long because when I went in, they said, 'No Jesus in the jail. No Bible in the jail. No witnessing in the jail. Don't you tell anybody about Jesus Christ.'" And she said, "For a couple days I did that. But," she said, "when I saw the terrible plight of these lost men and women that were here in jail, and they had no hope whatsoever," she said, "I could not keep my mouth shut. I could not sit idly by. They kept me for another month. They beat me and bruised me." But she said, "In that month, I won 15 of those prisoners to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ." She said, "When I saw the terrible plight of these sinners, no, they were lost. No, they were dying. And no, they were going to hell. I could not sit idly by and keep my mouth shut." May God touch our heart. May God fuel our soul and fire us out. We live in a world in a terrible plight and a terrible condition. The answer is, as the answer always has been, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus Christ always. Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ is that answer. God's way is people. God's work is people. Closing thought. God's will is people. Somebody preached the other night, the Lord's not willing that any should perish. Somebody goes to hell, it won't be the will of God that they go to hell. It'll be they chose to do that. God's will is people. Think about this. God uses people to fulfill His will. How many of you love your Bible? How many of you like me ever slept with your Bible? Put it on the pillow. It's dangerous to go into a bookstore. My wife hardly will let me tarry that way this week. Because new Bibles just have a wonderful smell. Amen. Is there a witness out there? I mean, amen. You get in there and the wife, she said, "You already got 15 Bibles. I said, "Yeah, but one more can't hurt you. Amen. Amen. Just look good, smell good, feel good." It is good. God gave us this book through divine inspiration. But He entrusted it in the hands of holy men to put it down. Do you know how God chose to spread the gospel? Us. Us. Didn't that seem like a poor plan to you? How would you like to felt to have been 11 disciples? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Impossible. Impossible. Understand, no planes, no trains, no car. Go into all the world. But God got it done. God chooses to spread the gospel through people. God speaks His word through people. God shows His will through people. God's will is people. No church is doing the will of God unless they're reaching, reconciling, and restoring people. Amen? How many believe it's the will of God for lost sinners to get saved? How many believe it's the will of God for backsliders to come home? How many believe it's the will of God for those that have fallen to get back right with God? As we heard the other night, Brother Coley preached a wonderful message. It's God's will for that prodigal to come back home. And his daddy didn't run after him. His daddy didn't chase him and bring him down. But it was God's will for him to come home. And he came back home. No church is doing the will of God who isn't reaching, reconciling, and restoring. No Christian, no child of God, no called man of God is doing that will. Look up here. You're the answer to somebody's prayer. Somebody's waiting on you to be that Ananias, that Peter, or that Paul? Who were they? Just sinners saved by the grace of God. We ought to start each day with, Lord, who needs my help today? We ought to spend every day saying, Lord, who needs my hand today? We ought to surrender each day and say, God, who needs my heart today? How many ever heard of a missionary named Garland Cofield? Ever hear his name? Brother Patterson and I. A missionary of days gone by. He was a missionary to Northern Ontario. A missionary to the Indian villages that were up there. Great, great man of God. He told of a story. He was out with a young man who had come to work with him. This man hadn't been married long, had a little baby. They had a little plane. They'd been ministering in those Indian villages. Terrible storm came. And, you know, in Ontario, some of those places, the weather just flipped in a hurry. Changed. And it got bad. And they had to land this plane. And they found a little village and landed. He said, by the time we got there, it was a blizzard. Whiteout. Now, if snow comes down like this, it's okay. But when snow's going like this, bad, bad, bad. 40 degrees below zero, actual temperature. He said, we just got our plane on the ground when that motor quit. He said, there I was. I said, God, how are we going to get out of here? He said, I know there's a village near, but there isn't a doctor, a phone, a city of any kind within 400 miles. What am I doing here? Why am I here? And then he said, the Lord reminded him, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And he said, here I am, the veteran missionary, trying to help this young missionary. And he said, all of a sudden, young missionary said, well, why don't we go in the village and find some place to preach? What a novel idea, amen. So he said, we went in. And it was such a terrible storm. The first house we came to, we knocked on the door, opened. And he said, there was the oldest Indian I'd ever seen or met in my life. She was 99 years old. She was blind. We said, does anybody else live here? She said, no. I said, well, boy, God wants us to have church tonight. She said, help yourself. So he said, the young preacher led the singing. We sang two or three songs. I preached. And he said, long story short, 2 hours later, this Indian lady, 99 years old, got saved. Got saved. He said, I know what God did. He just took us and put us in that place. And he said, as we talked with her, she said this. She said, back around the turn of the century, a missionary came through. And I heard about him and went and heard him once but didn't understand. Are you listening? This is a true story. I listened to Garland Cofield as he tell it. She said, I have been praying for 70 years every day. God, send somebody. I heard that. I began to weep. I thought, God, who's waiting on me? How long has somebody been waiting on me? When will I realize that God uses people to answer other people's prayer? We are the answer to somebody's prayer. Would you bow your heads and stand together with me? Well, the Lord brought this message home to me. I want you to come. Say, God, show me who needs me. Show me who's waiting on me. Show me where I'm to go, who I am to talk to. And let us realize, not just the job of the pastor, the missionary, the evangelist. It's not just the job of the deacons or the Sunday school teachers. It is the job of every child of God. Somebody lost that needs you. There's somebody that's lonely that needs you. There's somebody that is low and they need you. Would you come? Say, God, let me be that person. Let me be that man. Let me be that woman. Let me be the answer to somebody's prayer. As God put the right person at the right place, with the right plan in your life, it's our turn now to be the right person, the right plan, and the right place.